I think we have to trust our natural instincts. We have natural instincts. How do you know this person is the right person for you to choose to marry if you want to get married? How do you know you want to get married? How do you know you don't want to get married? How do you know? You can inherit the beliefs you got from your family around this, or you can think for yourself, be yourself, trust yourself, know yourself, know how you operate, know how you feel when you're with that person. You're like, oh my God, I feel at home here.
Successors, welcome back to another edition of Success Fundamentals, where we talk about success and its nuances in its most rawest form. We have a very special guest here with us today. We have Tammy Simon, the founder of Sounds True. She also has one of the top podcasts out called Insights at the Edge, where she has interviewed some of the top spiritual leaders of our time. Tammy, thank you so much for being with us today.
My pleasure.
So Tammy, we're gonna get deep today. I hope you're
all right.
Ready.
Let's go.
Chris told me you got to get ready for Tammy. She's a deep thinker. She's a spiritual person. So you're gonna be the second spiritual leader on our show. We had a gentleman by the name of Dr. Mark Weissman a few months ago. He's a shaman, and he was talking about effectively, is spirituality something that is optional for people in their success journeys? So today we want to dive into that a little bit more. And today the topic of discussion is your relationship with the divine and how it translates into success in your own life. So what I want to start this discussion with is effectively when you think of just sure. the divine in general, what is your overall perception of the divine? How would you define the divine? We'll start with Tammy and then Chris. I would love to hear your input on that as well.
Sure. Well, to start, I just want to say something about success, which is I would never attempt to define success for someone else. I believe we each need to define for ourselves. And that's the most important thing, is to live into your own definition of success. Now, for me, success has a whole lot to do with a quality of inner animation. We could say living a soul-filled life, or living from the inside out, and knowing that I'm aligned with my interior states and being true to them. Now, you asked me, how do I define the divine? And to me, first of all, the divine is the nature of life. It's the nature of everything. It's what is here, right here. It's animating us as human beings. It's animating plants and trees. It's inherent in the table that the computer is on and in the computer chips. It's everywhere. It's the essential nature of things. And we get to touch that in ourselves and know it in ourselves. So for me, success is being grounded in that realization right here, in that sense of value, inherent value, without anything needing to change externally, without the weather being different, without my bank account being different, without the company being bigger, whatever. Right here, right now, tapping into that inherent quality of richness, of value, of beauty, of glory. So that's to me what the divine is. And the great thing is that it's available to all of us at any moment.
Tammy, I actually never heard about that. I mean, never heard what you just said in terms of success, where you said that you never try to define success for someone else. And when you said that, I just started thinking about all the speeches that people, like, you go to these conferences and they say that, well, you got to do X or you got to do Y and you have to do Z. And then but you're 100% right. You can't really tell anybody what you need to do for them to be like successful, like a person who is speaking to you, right? Because everyone is so individual and you have to define that for yourself. Not saying that you can't take any lessons from anybody, but you know, but you can't say, well, if success is like that, then I need to achieve that. You, deep down in your soul, you may not want to do that, but you're bombarded with these images of what success is. And very rarely do you hear somebody say, we may want to take a step back from what's portrayed as success and actually think about what would be success for you, actually.
I think that's really the important starting place. And to be willing to define it for yourself outside of the culture's expectations and the status quo internally. And even, and I think this is a very powerful exercise to help get really clear about it, to view it from the perspective of your deathbed. So just imagine, I mean, it's a really simple thing. Just imagine you're lying in bed and you're dying. I mean, it's not that hard to imagine. You look back at your life. What would it mean in your own heart for you to have been wildly successful, massively successful? What would it mean to you from that perspective, knowing you're saying goodbye to it all, you're letting it all go, and the only thing you're taking, and this is my experience and my perception, is the brilliance of your soul, the integrity of your soul, the shining light of your soul. That's all you're taking with you. That's my notion. People may have other notions. So what would it mean to say, wow, I was really successful?
Mm. Mm.
Jamie, I want to touch on your definition. Oh. Is my sound messed up? Sorry. Do we have an overlap here? A waiver.
No, I think you're just a little delayed.
Okay, sorry. We'll cut that out. So, Tammy, the nature of things, the divine is the nature of things. That resonated with me when you said that. As a matter of fact, I wrote it down. Right? So, what I want to ask you is there any element of the divine that is outside of nature? Or is it... solely within the nature of things that's present to us?
You know, I'm sorry, your question didn't come through totally clear to me, Brian. Can you try me one more time and just, you know, you're breaking up a little. I don't know if Chris, he's breaking up for you.
Yeah, he is.
That's just my experience.
No, he is.
But can you try one more time?
I'm going to try to kick it over to a different internet and see if that works better, okay? I'll be right back.
Okay.
So while he's doing that, I want to ask you a question, Tammy. From a spiritual standpoint, why is spirituality so important to you? And why do you think some people don't think that they need it in their lives? And how would you counter that thought for people?
Sure. Well, you know, it's interesting because the word spirituality, even just that word, means different things to different people. So for whatever reason, for me, I've always had, you could call them burning questions about what's going on here. And those questions have taken different forms, from what is the nature of personal identity? Where do creative ideas come from? What will be the experience of death and post-death? What will that be like? How can we effectively respond to the challenges of our world from a deep and effective place? Like, these things have been such a big part of who I am and what my makeup is. And so if you want to call that spirituality, I think one definition of spirituality is attending to what matters most, caring about what matters most, pouring ourselves out for what matters most. So that's just like my makeup as a person. That's what I focus on. And, you know, once again, I think we're all different. So I'm not trying to convince other people to be like me. Far from it. I never would do that. Mm-hmm. I'm interested in finding out what's important to other people and why it's important to them and dialoguing with them. I would say that at the end, I think of all of our lives, we have this notion of, did I really give all of my gifts while I was alive? Did I pour myself out, so to speak? Did I share everything, all of my heart? Did I share all of my heart and talent with other people? So I think that's a drive in all of us. And if you want to call that spiritual, then I would say, far out, that's what I really care about. I would encourage each person to find out for themselves, what does it mean to give all of yourself while you're alive?
So this is giving me a lot of thoughts. See, Chris was right. And you're getting me thinking a lot. And I hope I'm coming in clear now. So the one thing that you brought up earlier that I was hoping you can elaborate on is the divine being, the nature of things. So the question I have as it relates to that statement, is there anything about the divine that exists outside of the nature of things, or is it solely within, you know, the tangible world? It's actually two parts.
Sure.
The second part ties into your answer.
Sure. Well, first of all, once again, and I am leading with a lot of qualifiers, because when you get into topics like this, I think we each need to speak from our own experience. It's really important. I'm not speaking about something outside of my experience that I read in a book that I therefore have decided is the, you know, dogmatic way it is. I'm sharing and speaking from my experience. So from my experience, we're living in a multidimensional world where there's the physical and then there's lots of dimensions that we can't see. And I would go so far as to say, I have no idea how many. It seems vast and mysterious to me. And I think all of that, all of what is seen and unseen is suffused with, you can use a word like divinity, or you could say is suffused with grace, sacredness, holiness, awesomeness. Use whatever word you want. All of the dimensions, all of time and space, and even what comes before time and space. It's that mysterious.
I love this. This is good. So within that awesomeness, is there, in your opinion, some type of effective way of channeling that awesomeness into your goals in life? I know it's probably not a one-size-fits-all model, but are there some kernels of wisdom you can give us for people of all different spiritual practices to kind of pull it into our lives?
Sure. Well, one thing is, I noticed I felt a little bristly when it's like using that awesomeness to accomplish your goals. And the way I look at it a little differently is a question that I learned from a Jungian analyst and author, James Hollis, someone I really respect. And he says, what wants to be expressed through me? What wants to come through me? What wants to be created through me? So it's not so much like, here I am, this separate, ego-driven being wanting to get, you know, my new stuff, and I'm going to channel the divine awesomeness to get my new stuff. A different way of looking at it is, I am in an expression of this holy ground, which wants to actually create more love and more goodness through me. I am a vessel. I am an instrument. I'm, you know, the traditional image of like a hollow flute that music is played through. What wants to come through me to lift up others? And I'm open to that, and I will serve that. And the interesting thing is, I think when we have that kind of perspective and we say that kind of, I'll go ahead and call it a prayer, to be well used in the spirit for others, all kinds of incredible things happen in our lives, and all kinds of incredible goals are reached. And there's a quality of fulfillment, and dare I say, in my view, at least, success at every level, including physical success in the world, abundance, financial success, all of it, all of it.
You know what, Tammy, I want to ask you this question because I sometimes struggle with the difference. And since you talk to many spiritual leaders and this is pretty much your life's work, what is the difference between spirituality and religious and
sure.
religion? Because you have people sure. who commingle the two. And
sure.
so, and I'm not sure if they are the exact same thing, because you have people who, whatever their religion is, and then you have people who are spiritual but doesn't want to really. So I'm like, from you and sure. what you've learned throughout life, what is the difference between the two?
Sure. Well, there's a large portion of the population that identifies as spiritual but not religious. So that's interesting. There's a bunch of people who say, that's who I am. I'm spiritual, but I'm not particularly religious. And then there are other people who feel they are religious and that they feel they're deeply spiritual. And that's valid. That's totally valid as well. So I think for that population that says, I identify with being spiritual, but not religious, what they're saying is, I don't identify with any particular church, with any particular set of religious texts and instructions and prayers. I don't connect to that. Mm-hmm. Yet I have this deep sense of what it means to live a soul-filled life, to come from a spiritual place, to honor my connection with forces that can't be seen. And personally, I would say I'm someone who identifies with being spiritual but not religious. Now, for other people who say, you know, I'm a practicing Jew or Christian or Muslim, and I have a deep spiritual sense of what that means to be practicing within that faith tradition, that's completely valid too. It's just a different way of connecting and being in the world.
My part two question to that, Tammy, is, does spirituality or religion, do you have to be into it to make it work in your life? I'm going to give you, we're about to get real here, because I'm just going to just.
All know, right, let's get real.
Right. As a kid, growing up, I grew up Christian. That was the household, right? So we went to church twice on Sundays, once on Wednesdays, and sometimes on Friday, right? And the majority of the time, when speaking to children, the pastor would go, she would say, well, you know, you'll make time to go watch the football game, but you can't really make time for God or, you know, being a Christian. And then, so as you get older, you realize that when you were younger, you just weren't into it. Like you can't sit me in a church and as a kid and expect me to understand what's coming on when I really, because, you know, as a kid, at least for me, this is just me personally. Like, I can't talk to anybody else. Then as you get older and you realize that there are other religions out there, it's not just Christian. There's Muslim. You could be, you know, Muslim. You can be a Buddhist. You can be, you know, it's a lot of things that are out there. And I wonder, do you have to experience many religions to see which one connects with you? And being that there are many religions, how do you know which one is right? You know, I think that's another thing too. Because if I'm like, oh, I have to be at church every Sunday, is that wrong? Or like, how do you know that something connects with you?
Sure.
At all. Like, I guess that's my, sure. that's my question.
Sure. I think we have to trust our natural instincts. We have natural instincts. How do you know this person is the right person for you to choose to marry if you want to get married? How do you know you want to get married? How do you know you don't want to get married? How do you know? Mm-hmm. You can inherit the beliefs you got from your family around this, mm-hmm. or you can think for yourself, be yourself, trust yourself, know how you operate, know how you feel when you're with that person. You're like, oh my God, I feel a home here. They don't look the way I thought they were going to look. They didn't come from the kind of family I thought they were going to come from.
Yeah.
But I know what this feels like.
100%.
And I have the courage to choose this because I know it's the right fit for me. It's the right fit for how I want to feel with another person. And I would say the same thing for what I would call our path. Our path. And what I mean by path is that comes with a set, an orientation, practices. We have a sense of where we're going. And for some people, their path can be something like, you ready? Being in nature. Oh my goodness. Mm. I don't feel like it fits for me to be in any kind of mosque or church or synagogue. It doesn't work. I don't even like being inside. I want to be outside. And when I'm outside, that's when the world opens up for me. That's when I feel connected to that brilliant awesomeness and love and light and glitter that's suffusing everything. And some people, it's, you know, I went into the yoga studio. And when I was practicing yoga and I was doing the breathing practices, and finally at the end of the yoga class, lying down, when I was in that lying down posture that they call the corpse, I finally felt connected to everything and deeply relaxed and a deep sense of belonging in my body and on the earth. I think I'd like to follow the path of yoga and explore that deeper. So I think we have to first allow ourselves to be explorers, try a lot of different things. And when something feels like, oh my, this feels really good. I love this. It feels natural to me. It tastes right. Then we have to follow it, give ourselves permission. Our friends might say, what are you doing? Mm. What are you doing? You're going to this yoga class. And before you know it, unlike the church where you were like, really? I don't want to go 5 times a week. You're naturally going to a yoga class 5 times a week because you want to, because it's nourishing something inside you. It's what you want. You're not doing it because you're supposed to, because I think anything we're supposed to do, it doesn't really last. I mean, at least not in my life. And maybe that says something about me, but like I can try supposed to things for a while, but it's kind of like the diets. You go on the diet you're supposed to, and before you know it, you're off the diet. You gained all the weight back, like supposed to. But if you're doing something because you love it, you'll just do it because you love it. So I think that's what we have to find.
Very true.
So this is giving me some thoughts that I want to voice them, and they might be on the edge of like controversial. So
all right, that's right. No.
Did you know that only 2% of the world's coffee beans are good enough for Don Pablo? For over 30 years, Don Pablo Coffee Grills and Roasters has been introducing Americans to the world's most delicious coffees.
A pioneer in ethically sourced and chemical-free coffee, Don Pablo uses the world's best Arabica beans, hand-picked at the peak of ripeness for the richest and deepest flavors. Freshly roasted and naturally low in acidity, Don Pablo Coffees can be found online at Amazon and at DonPabloCoffee.com. For a free bag of Don Pablo Signature Blend, go to DonPabloCoffee.com and put in the discount code SUCCESS. All we ask is that you cover shipping and handling.
Now back to the show.
So when it comes to the element of religion, like having a structured religion, one of the things that always made sense to me about it was having some type of a moral and ethical framework that people that participate in that religion all presumably agree with, and therefore allow some order within the people that follow that faith. So that's the statement. The thing that I'm struggling with, and I'm hoping to get everyone's thoughts on this, is if we rely solely on how a faith or a spiritual practice makes us feel, how do we make sure we're also careful to not perhaps sacrifice some of the morals? Like if I was like 21-year-old single Brian and I went to like a cult in the mountains.
I hear you, Brian, but let me ask you a question. How have these morals worked within, let's say, the church? How well do people follow them when we see all of the priests who have been involved in sex scandals? Really? How well is it working? Really? And so my view is that whenever you have something imposed from without, it's not going to work as well as when you have something that's deeply felt and spontaneously coming from your integrity as a person. So what we need to do, and it needs to be part of our ethos, is connect to the part of ourselves that is truly in integrity and pure. There's a part of each one of us, and it's what our conscience knows. We each know it inside. And if we can connect with that, we know when we've veered off. You know it. You know when you've told a lie. You know it. You know it. And if we can have that awareness inside of ourselves as the core of who we are and live from that place, then we have a kind of diamond-like quality of how we express ourselves in the world. And it's not because the system that we bought into, that we said put us into this box that we may or may not follow, because then it's an external thing. Do you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I think the core is, where are you? Where is each person in relationship with their own conscience? Mm. Are you in dialogue with it? How about being in dialogue with it every day? Let's break it down even more. How about being in dialogue with it on a minute-by-minute basis? Like being in touch with it, letting yourself be informed by it. What does my conscience want me to do today?
Tammy, I want to talk to you about something. It's funny you say that because, again, this is only speaking from the Christian faith of what I've experienced. Why do you think that certain religions judge other religions? For example, if I'm a Christian and then I'm talking, I don't do this, but I'm just giving you of what I've seen, and somebody reveals that they're a Muslim or something else, and it's almost like a shock or like a judgment that they're something else besides what they are, right? And I think that's something that I struggle with. Like, that doesn't mean, like, how do you know that you're right? Right. That's what my mind is thinking. Like, you're saying, oh, you're judging this person or your tone or your mood changed because there's something else that you're not. Mm-hmm. But yet the Bible or what you ascribe to tell you don't judge anybody or treat everybody like you want to be treated. But then when you hear something else, you're like, oh, whoa, I don't want to, you know, kind of deal with you, or you kind of change the whole dynamic. Like, why do you think there's such judgment between religions? I would say.
Yeah. Well, in general, I think humans are on what I would call a developmental journey. Mm-hmm. And I'm going up like this with my hands. And I think that we can begin in our journey by really identifying just with our family and then our tribe, however we define our tribe. And that could be our religious group. Mm-hmm. We feel identified with this group. And we get our sense of value and success and meaning from that group. So that's a type of tribal identification. And I think religious identification goes with that. And then we have to be better, because we're identified with this, than these other people. We have to evaluate ourselves in comparison to them. We don't want them to be better than us. But I think as we grow in our developmental journey, instead of identifying with this group, we start feeling like, no, I'm a human and I'm part of the human race. I'm not just part of this church group here. I'm a human. I'm part of a global society. I'm not just an American. I'm not just a fan of this particular sport team. I love sports. I support sports teams. I'm outside of my tribalism. I want all nations to lift up. And then we keep going. Our perspective gets bigger. Mm-hmm. And it's not just that we're global and we care about all humans, but we care about all life. And we care about space. And we care not just about what's visible, but what's invisible. And we become a type of cosmic soul. So I think there's a journey that people go on. And the more of us who can come from that place of open, accepting embrace of all of life, I think will help us grow as a society in that evolutionary journey.
This reminds me very much of that movie 2001: A Space Odyssey, where they go out further, and every time they uncover, I can't remember the name of that black slate that they would find, but humanity would advance to the next level. But the final level was this type of cosmic alignment where we became technically like a spiritual entity that can just fuse in with the cosmos.
Yeah. And I think it's up to each of us, I believe, if we're called, to be that kind of evolutionary agent. So when you find yourself identifying in any kind of tribalistic way and judging others, instead, can you open up and see it from their perspective? Like, oh, okay. I'm not just in my shoes, looking through my eyes. I'm suddenly inhabiting another person, looking through their eyes, seeing it through their perspective, their spiritual beliefs. Interesting. I can do both. I can see it the way I, and I can see it the way they, oh my God, that's so interesting. And your perspective starts widening and widening.
That's a skill. I think, go ahead, Brian, I'm sorry.
So what do you think the ultimate, you kind of already discussed this, so forgive me for being redundant, but if we were all doing our spiritual practices right, whatever that means, right for ourselves even, let's multiply that out over the next 10, 15, 20, 100 years. What could this world look like? What could people look like if we allow spiritual growth to be one of the things that we take as just like a principle of life that we must do?
Well, I noticed as you said that, two things occurred to me. One, what a journey we have as a human species to get there. Like, what a messy, terrible, difficult journey we have to get there. But then I also felt the gift of the question and the gift of the possibility and the gift of the vision. And to me, it is a future vision of a global we, a recognition of our interdependence with all of life, with each other and with all of life, with the air we breathe. I think that the ecological climate change crisis we're in is driving this. We're seeing how what happens in this part of the world affects another part of the world. We're seeing that if we want to survive as a human species, we all have to work together to accomplish that. And what a huge thing that will be. But I think the image I have is this recognition of the web that we are, and that we actually even start feeling being, this is kind of radical to say, but it's what occurred to me when you were talking, but we feel our sense of being one being. One being. We're a cell in a being. We're not a separate thing. We're a cell. We're part of, and cells are permeable. We're part of this great, huge organism of life. We're just part of it. We just need to do our loving part.
Delving deeper into what Brian said, in terms of that, it's a two-part question. The first, is there any body or thing that we can look to, not to do exactly what they do, but to say like, okay, like if these group of people is doing it right, and to debunk theories? I know sometimes, like you said it earlier, Tammy, where it has to feel good to you, right? It has to be like you just do it because you just like it. Are there things to deepening your spirituality that you just absolutely have to do, even though you may not like it? So, for example, people say that you need to meditate, right? And what if meditating is just hard for you to do, right? You know, like, is there anything that you have to do or no?
Sure. Well, also, I want to clarify something.
Okay.
Because maybe I wasn't clear when I said it. I was giving you the example of how when you meet someone you really love, how it feels right. Mm-hmm. But for any of us who have been in relationships that have lasted more than 30 seconds, you know that it takes a lot of hard work to make that relationship thrive over time. So it's not just feeling right in terms of like joy, 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 pleasure, 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 you know, tiramisu, tiramisu, tiramisu. It's not just like that. It's this feels like a fit, and it feels so right that I'm even willing to sacrifice for it. I'm willing to do hard stuff for it. It's so valuable. It feels like such a fit for who I am. I'll do what it takes. And, you know, here's a, you know, just a really simple example. I don't like working out. I don't enjoy it. Yet I have a trainer and I do it twice a week. It's good for me. I feel so much better afterwards. It gives me energy for the work that I do. It helps me stay healthy. I don't have back pain because I do it. And so I've asked myself to do this thing that does not actually come naturally to me, but I can tell myself the truth. This is the key part. This is our conscience. I can tell myself the truth about the benefits. Like if we're just thinking that any part of life is some kind of pleasure trip, it's very childlike. Do you know what I mean? What am I going to do? Lie on the couch and, you know, watch television and eat potato chips day after day after day after day? I mean, it's not going to feel very good on like day four.
For sure.
Might feel good on the first couple of days, but at a certain point, it's like, I think I got to get off the couch.
Absolutely.
And I don't even want another potato chip, you know? I mean, so we have to tell ourselves the truth about what's the higher things. That the ultimate things that really, this is where the whole notion of success comes in. You know, so I love my business. Sounds true. A company I've been running for 37 years. I love it. And it requires all kinds of sacrifices. Probably the way, and I don't know because I don't have children, but I do know that parents make all kinds of sacrifices for their family and for their children. Mm-hmm. They do all kinds of things they would never want to do under any other circumstance, except they know that it's good for their family. It's good for their kids. It's you know, so they do it. And so we need to be mature adults like parents who say, I'm the adult here. I'm making sacrifices for my kids. Mm-hmm. So I make sacrifices for the totality of the expression of my life. So that it, this qualities again, so that it has integrity, it has adulthood. Do you know what I mean? Like adulthood,
absolutely,
meaning giving to others, being there for others. We put that at the center and then we arrange things around it. Whether we enjoy them or we don't enjoy them becomes kind of less important because there's something bigger that we're devoted to, that we're giving ourselves to.
That very much reminds me of, and I think I've mentioned this on the show before, the show I watched about people that moved to rural Alaska. And there was a quote from it that kind of echoes in my subconscious where this gentleman said, in Alaska, you make, he goes, you always have time to help your neighbor. And if you don't have time to help your neighbor, you make time to help your neighbor. I was like, wow. If everyone was that way, and when your neighbor needed something, even if you didn't have the time, you penciled them in, you found a way to help them. And if someone was treating me that way and I was treating someone else that way, what would our communities look like? I really think it would be something beautiful.
Mm-hmm. And well, it's interesting you bring that up because, you know, in Alaska, we do that because we need to do that because we're in the middle of this, you know, challenging landscape where, you know, if there's a weather event or something, you need your neighbor on your side. Mm. I think the world is now at a place where the challenges are so much in all of our faces. You know, there's a fire. It's happening right here outside our neighborhood, not exactly in this moment, but it could happen right where I live in Boulder, Colorado. It has happened. I think that the ecological crisis, the racial justice crisis, it's in all of our faces to say that we're like that person in Alaska, and we better get it on to help our neighbor. We need to be doing that. Absolutely. We need to embody that attitude in response to the pressures of our time.
Absolutely. Tammy, I want to get your perspective on grace. And one of the best quotes or excerpts that I've seen from Grace is from Steve Harvey, where he said that gratitude can take you so much farther if you just stop and be grateful for where you are. And the analogy that he put was, he said, imagine somebody coming to you every day to ask for a cup of sugar. So he gives two scenarios. He says, the first scenario is when your neighbor comes to you every day and asks you for a cup of sugar. Never says thank you at all. Every day. Hey, Tammy, can I get a cup of sugar? You give them a cup of sugar and they go away. Give them a cup of sugar and they go away. They never say thank you. He said at a point, you're going to stop the person and say, hey, I've been giving you sugar for all this time and you never said thank you, right? And then he said after a while, you're going to stop giving them a cup of sugar because they're not grateful and thankful for what you're doing for them. He said then the second scenario is that same person every day comes by and asks you for a cup of sugar. And they say, thank you so much, Tammy, for doing this. And every day, he said, since they're so thankful and grateful for you giving them a cup of sugar, you may show them some grace and give them a 5-pound bag of sugar because they are so grateful that you just give them a cup of sugar. He said, now let me translate this to life. He said, imagine if your goal was to make financially $1 million a year and you start at 20 and then a few years later, you're at 50. And you're so thankful for the 50, or you're not thankful for the 50 because you're mad because you're not making $1 million. Then he said, you continue to progress and you just say you go from 50 to 150, but you're not grateful that you made the 150 because you're looking at the $1 million goal. He said, eventually from a blessing standpoint, why would you continue to progress if you're not grateful for where you are? He said, because just a few minutes ago or just a few years ago, you were at 50. Now you're at 150. And years before that, you're at 20, right? So you weren't grateful. So he said, if you're grateful for every point of life, grace may be shown on you. Something, an event may happen to maybe get you not only there, but past that point. But if you're not grateful along the way, you can hurt yourself in a way because you're not thankful for what's going on. So I want to ask you, from a life standpoint, what does gratitude and grace mean to you?
Well, first of all, Chris, it's just a beautiful, beautiful story. I've never heard that before, and it moves me. And my view is that gratitude is a natural state of being when you're connected in the present moment to what's happening in your life. And what I mean by that is we can be grateful for sunlight, for the quality of the breeze outside, for a simple taste of water. Mm-hmm. You know, water, it's an amazing, this is actually from El Dorado Springs, which is close by here. So it's natural spring water. This is just, okay, natural spring water. We have big bottles delivered because my wife and I both really enjoy it. Mm-hmm. And I can take a moment, natural spring water.
Looks very clear.
I can only imagine the taste.
Yeah. This is what I'm getting at is if we can be that attuned, not even to our bank account and these other, just that attuned to the abundant generosity of life. The sun came up today. Mm-hmm. Whoa, I feel it on my face. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take a second. This is, you know, you don't have to turn it into a big practice. I'm going to take a second and appreciate it. Just going to go, that feels so good. What's amazing is that we start being these humans that other people want to be around. They love it. They love our spirit. And before you know it, they want to hire us to do all kinds of things. They want to partner with us to do all kinds of things. And all kinds of opportunities open up because, hey, I want that person in the room. Mm. They make me feel better when they're there. And they often have really good and original ideas that I hadn't thought of. And I just, you know, I thrive more when I'm working with them. And so it just, it multiplies, it multiplies, it multiplies, it multiplies in every way. And it's a outgrowth of our presence, just really being with whatever is happening mm-hmm. and attuning to something that's happening that we can appreciate. And there's almost always something we can appreciate in our immediate experience.
100%.
Thank you, Tammy.
Yeah, thank you too. Great to talk to you both.
Absolutely. Now, Tammy, I know that, you know, I want to give you a platform to talk about what you're working on. With the inner.
Got to hear about this inner MBA.
Yeah, for sure.
Sure.
And how is it different, and how can it help, you know, our listeners to get to where they're trying to go in business?
Sure. Well, particularly because you're interested in this question of success. And one of the things that I've seen, and we started our conversation at this point, is that, at least in my experience, success is an inside out phenomenon versus an outside, you know, let me just accomplish all these things. Mm-hmm. When you feel inside rich and abundant, and you have all of these capacities to listen to other people, to be in the unknown and think creatively, to bring out the best in other people on a team and have exceptional teamwork, before you know it, your business life is growing and changing. You're becoming more and more successful. So Sounds True created a 9-month online immersion training program in partnership with LinkedIn and another organization called Wisdom 2.0 that puts on events at the intersection of technology and wisdom. And this is a 9-month online learning program that has some of the best conscious business trainers, wisdom teachers, as well as leading CEOs, all teaching for 9 months in the environment of an online learning community. And our next cohort starts in September, and people can learn more at innermbaprogram.com.
Wow. I love that.
It's a lot of wisdom all in one place.
It is indeed.
For sure. For sure. Successes, don't worry about it. You already know exactly how this goes. You're going to have all those links in the show notes to make it very easy for you to sign up and enroll. And please do, please do. Tammy, thank you so much for spending your valuable time with Brian and I. You know, I love having these, you know, these conversations, because me being a nerd and everything, I want to just know about it. I have so many questions, and then bringing somebody who has the expertise that you have, and you've been doing it since 1985, I believe. And to come on here and share your wisdom with us, and now I feel like I've gotten smarter. The one person that I look up to, at least in the investing and business world, is Charlie Munger. And all he says is just make sure that you get smarter every day. And by having this conversation with you, I feel like I've gotten smarter today. So I want to thank you so much for that.
Yeah. Thank you both. You've touched my heart, both of you guys. Thank you.
Brian, thank you. Take us home.
All right. Thank you again, Tammy, for joining us. Successors, we are going to see you next time.
This concludes another episode of Success Fundamentals. We hope you found today's discussion useful to your life in some way. Please remember to like, comment, and subscribe to our show on your favorite podcast platform, and follow us on LinkedIn, Instagram, and Facebook.